You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You've joined us on Monday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to action at Sedgefield, Salisbury and Windsor. It all begins at 1:40 p.m. and you can hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio with James Millman, Ross Briley and Rory Delaghi, the team in the studio ahead of all the action. But joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is Ollie Pimlott. How are you today, Oliver?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, Samuel.
Good.
Nice and warm.
Yeah, indeed. How's your look been lately, Ollie?
Touch wood.
Yeah.
Not too bad at all, yeah. Previous, I think, a week and a half, yeah, about 2 weeks last Saturday, I had a very good day.
Nice.
Yeah. So since then, I've just been ticking away, Sam.
Riding the crest of the wave, Ollie.
Yeah, just been, yeah, touch wood, it's going okay, but when the winter comes along, Sam, certainly quieten down a little bit and hibernate for the come back out in the first day of the Lincoln meeting.
Okay. All right, fair enough. We'll start the podcast then, as we always do, with a look back to Saturday's action. Obviously, it was a fantastic day at Newmarket. We'll start with what was billed as the big duel of the day. Of course, Air Force Blue taking on Emotionless. Air Force Blue won very nicely, but we'll start with Emotionless. It was a big, big disappointment. From all the promise he showed at Doncaster, just didn't deliver.
Yeah, we don't know yet, but something's surely going to come to light. I mean, he finished last. I know William Buick didn't knock him about. He pretty much pulled him up, didn't he? So he looked after him. We've been on this podcast previously and we said, you know, in the Guineas, he'd probably rather back Emotionless. But on the day in the Dewhurst, we were all over Air Force Blue. You know, son of Warfront, far more precocious two-year-old. We're not after timing here, but even money for the Guineas after what we saw.
It's a pretty eye-watering price, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he's even money to get there. I mean, how often do you see these promising colts not even make it to the racetrack? In their three-year-old career, and if you had the slightest knock, I think the words Aidan O'Brien's been using, the usual he's the best we've ever had and all that sort of thing has come out. But interestingly, more interesting, I think, the fact that Ryan Moore said he's struggling to think of a better juvenile he's ridden.
I think
he's held in that higher regard. If he does have even the slightest knock over the winter, I don't think they'd take a chance with him, because he's worth so much as a stallion.
And that's generally the yard's policy. We've seen that with Glen Eagles throughout the season, and if it's not absolutely right,
then they're not going to take the chance, because these are worth hundreds of millions of pounds, probably Air Force Blue's worth now. So even money certainly wouldn't be for me for the Guineas, but it is hard to find certainly one to take him on with at the minute. As you say, there's big question marks over Emotionless now, but I wouldn't rule that out. It was his first run in Group 1 company, he's a big baby, he'd be better as a 3-year-old, but you know, it was massively disappointing yesterday. Air Force Blue, as impressive as he was, even money for the Guineas, no thank you.
Yeah, it'd be very difficult to say. I was having the conversation with Gary Capel on yesterday's podcast. Very often the market for the classics don't really form until months and months in advance. We were saying yesterday, if I'd have said the names Golden Horn and Qualified to you this time last year,
well, they hadn't
it
run.
Would have been who? Exactly.
Jack Hobbs hadn't run.
Yeah,
and he wins an Irish Derby.
Yeah.
But usually the O'Brien hot pots, his 3-year-olds, just coming out this time of year, actually, September time. But the fact he's such a short price favourite, I think the shortest price since Frankel, who was 4-5.
Right.
That looks a good price now, 4-5, Frankel, doesn't it? But you know, long time to wait, and I think you've got far better even money shots probably running today than you would for Air Force Blue in, 6-7 months' time?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. We'll move on to the big race then yesterday. Of course, the Cesarewitch, the big betting race of the day, won by Grometti of Alan Kings, who beat the gambled on horse, really, Oriental Fox of Mark Johnson's by a short head. That was backed in from 22-1 to 7-1 at the off. You wouldn't have found the winner though, Ollie Grimetta.
No, you'd have struggled. First win on the flat since 2012. I think it was a tip in itself that Alan King, all the owners, they weren't there either.
Yeah.
I don't think that sort of run was expected. I think Adam Biskitza told the owners that he thought he'd be in the first four, so he was confident. Obviously, he's got the big autumn double up with the Cesaro, which had, of course, the Cambridgeshire. So, you know, jockey who not fallen from grace, but who'd just gone quiet since he lost his claim. I think he went to America, came back in March, and barely had a ride since. But those two big wins put him certainly back on the map. He can do lightweights, and he's won what, 150,000 yesterday, 113 grand in the Cambridgeshire. So he's certainly helped his bank balance as well. I think the horse to take out of it is obviously Oriental Fox. He gave a stone and £8 to the winner and has beaten a short head. He was the best horse in the race. He's just been done by a very well handicapped horse right at the bottom there.
Yeah, and a Queen Alexandra winner result could be a big future in store for Oriental
Fox.
Yeah,
I mean, he looks he's going to be in all those big staying races next year. He's sure to move from handicap company up to group class, because to give all that weight to the winner was an impressive performance, to say. He just failed by a short head, and he'll be in group company for sure next year.
Yeah, looks set for big things, does the second in that Oriental Fox. That about wraps up the best of the action then from Newmarket on Saturday. We'll move ahead to matters on Monday now. As I mentioned, it's Salisbury, Sedgefield and Windsor on the agenda. We'll look at two from Sedgefield and two from Salisbury, and we'll begin with the Sedgefield 440. This is a 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap chase. 9 runners are down to go to post in it, and a couple of last time out winners here, Ollie.
Yeah, interesting little race this, and a lot of them reoppose each other from their last run. I think in the betting we'll probably have Court of Law as our favourite. Donald McCain, whose horses are in slightly better form now than they were at this time last year. I thought he was really impressive when he won at Warwick. He just held on, beating Badger's Retreat, who's a pretty decent yardstick. Wayne Hutchinson's got a decent relationship with Donald McCain, picking up a few rides from that yard now, and I think he would be a worthy favourite. Of the others, Carter's Rest is obviously interesting for George Bewley. Pretty consistent, this horse. He's been placed in all but one of his last six starts, Carter's Rest. He just kept on and was held towards the finish when he was second of nine behind Toledo Gold. That was off top weight at Cartmel last time. Slight drop in class, well, a slight increase in class for him here. But if he was one going to put it up to the favourite, I think it would be Carter's Rest. But the one I'm going to go for each way would be Sendime. He's a lot better hurdler than he is chase. I think he's £20 higher over hurdles than he is chasing, but he loves Sedgefield. He's a Sedgefield specialist. I think he's won the track 3 or 4 times at least now. And he ran another good race when he was second behind Backup Plan, a well handicapped horse, last time. Brian Hughes gets on really well with the horse. The Sayre team continue in excellent form. So in the first race at Sedgefield that we're looking at, the 440, I'd just go with Sendime each way. We've got the 9 runners, so he should be around about 5-6-1. I'll be looking at Sendime each way. He's a yardstick around the track, and he always seems to run his race.
Okay, Sendime for Ali in the 440 then. The 340 at Sedgefield then is a 3 mile, 2 furlong handicap chase. Just the 6 runners declared for this class 3.
Yeah, but I anticipate Mia's Anthem as going off favourite here, and going off pretty well back favourite. I think he's going to take all the beating. Won at Hexham last time. That was over 2.5 miles. Up to 3 mile 2 today, but that should hold no fears for him. Beat Dystonia's Revenge last time by 8 lengths. Obviously, Dystonia's Revenge reopposes and he's better off at the weights. But I think Mia's Anthem, the way it won at Hexham over 2.5 miles last time, this gelding by Royal Anthem, I think he's going to take all the beating. Is, you know, he's formerly rated only 80. Was climbed up in the handicap, was 100, off 108 it won at Hexham last time, up another £12 to 120, but just looked a thoroughly progressive stayer last time. Up another £12 is a big leap into 0 to 125 company for the first time, but you're taking on the likes of Highland Lodge, Swing Hard, Dystonia's Revenge, Isla Pearl Fisher. These are yardsticks we know pretty much everything about, Sam. But Mia's Anthem certainly seems to be going the right way. And even off a mark of 120, as I say, it's been rated as lowly as 80 in the past. Career high mark, up £12 for that facile Hexham win. I still think this gelding by Royal Anthem should have a few pounds still up its sleeve. So Mia's Anthem will be a confident selection in the 340. Still looks progressive, and I think the 3 mile 2, up £12 for its last win, might just eke out a little bit more of improvement.
Okay, Mia's Anthem then in that 3.40 contest at Sedgefield for Ollie. Next up, we'll head over to Salisbury. We'll start with their 4.20. This is the Bathwick Tyres Conditional Stakes, as so many races are sponsored by Bathwick Tyres over at Salisbury Alley. A 6-furlong event, 7 of them down to go to post for this Class 3. What did you like?
I'm going to take a chance on here, one here in the form of Mobstar for Mick Shannon and Sylvester D'Souza. Should be a decent price as well. Unfortunately, we only have the dead 7 running, so you place 1-2, which is a little bit disappointing, but showed really plenty of ability in 2 starts as a juvenile, where it won a Donny Maiden on heavy ground last November. Shaped as though it retained all its ability on its return last month. Got bags of potential, only had the 3 starts. A little bit to find on the figures, but with only those 3 starts to the name, Sylvester Stews has got an outstanding strike rate for Mick Shannon this season. Maybe worth chancing against some more exposed rivals who haven't won in a long time. You look at Amel, Highland Calori, Magic City, Mirage Music, Justice Well and Wet Sail, the other 6 runners. They've not won this season, Sam. Whereas Mobstar only had the 3 starts, certainly shaped well on its comeback, clearly had a bit of a problem, but least exposed by far in the field. Should get around about 5-6-1 tomorrow morning. I'm going to take a chance that he's a little bit less exposed than the others and might just be on an upward curve.
Mobstar the pick Friday then for Mick Shannon and Sylvester D'Souza. The final race then on today's podcast comes up at 5:20. We're again at Salisbury for this one. It's a 1.6 handicap. 12 of them are declared for it. What caught the eye here?
I think I'm going to go with another unexposed horse in the form of Scrutinize. Just looked thoroughly progressive. This horse for Ed Dunlop and Andrea Azzini. Sharp upward curve at present. He's won his last 2 starts in really taking fashion despite not getting the clearest of runs last time. £4 rise, you'd argue, may not be enough to stop him on that upward curve. Mark Hopkins was a good winner of a Newmarket Maiden on just his 2nd start. He is feared most on handicap debut ahead of Faithful Moment, but Scrutinise for me would be a strong selection in the 5:20 at Salisbury.
Okay, Scrutinise Friday then, who's in fine form, has won 3 of his last 4 starts, taking him in the 5:20 at Salisbury. Just remind us, please, Ollie, one more time, your selections for the action on Monday.
3:40 at Sedgefield, I'm going for Mia's Anthem. In the 4:40 at Sedgefield, I'm going with Sendime each way. The 4:20 at Salisbury, I'm going with Mobstar each way. And in the 5:20 at... The 5:20 at Salisbury, I'm going with Scrutinise.
Lovely stuff. There we are. Thoughts of Ollie Pimlott ahead of Monday's action. And you'll hear every race live from 1:40 p.m. on William Hill's Racing Radio in the company of Ross Briley, James Millman and Rory Delaghi. It's Salisbury, Sedgefield and Windsor on the agenda on Monday. So do make sure you join us for all of the action. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Ollie. And I hope you enjoy the week ahead.
Always a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.